time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, I just realized I put Mast Luminara, like she's a shipmast. Mast Luminara. In this episode, Master Luminara goes missing. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ki-Adu Mundi lead a platoon of clones in search of her, which takes them to a mysterious lair. There will be brains, because we're talking about Legacy of Terror this week. You know, I just realized something after watching the episode, Chris.
What's that?
In the Netflix description, they said that Obi-Wan and Ki-Adi Mundi lead the platoon of clones, which is, you know, that's where I get that little summary as I get it from the Netflix description. It was definitely Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. How you doing, Chris?
Good work, Netflix.
Good job, Netflix. That's okay.
It's Wikipedia from now on.
They said that Full Metal Alchemist was a comedy, and that's definitely probably one of the saddest animes I've ever seen in my life.
They just figured it was a cartoon.
Yeah, so apparently it has to be a comedy when this father makes a hybrid of a dog and his daughter together and makes a chimera, because that's laughable.
That sounds funny.
And it's also laughable when a really great character dies, and as they're burying him, his daughter's going, "Mommy, why are they putting Daddy into the ground? He has work to do. Mommy!" That's hilarious.
Oh, ha ha ha.
So how you doing, Chris?
Pretty good.
That's good. I'm doing great for two reasons. Reason number one, I have apples. I'm always happy when I have apple slices. And reason number two, and I'm springing this on you, they released the first clip of Star Wars Rebels Season 3 today.
Oh.
And I swear they heard us, because Ezra is taller, has a new haircut, and he looks like he's aged.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ezra's taller than Sabine now, and he was definitely about Sabine's height at the end of Season 2.
He's getting his growth spurt.
Mm-hmm. But it was a really cool clip. I don't want to spoil it for you. But Zeb has a new outfit. Ezra has a new design. And they said that Sabine has a new model, but I need to go back and rewatch it because we didn't see her without her helmet at any point. I think she has, like, different Mandalorian armor. But it was really cool, like, Hondo's in the clip, so I'm really excited, so.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's exactly what we were asking for.
Mm-hmm. We still need his voice to crack, though. I was hoping you would do an Ezra impression.
It could happen. You want some space fries with that?
That's my favorite of your impression. Oh. I like that better than Sexy Yoda.
Oh, wow. Maybe I should do teen fast food worker readings.
I would love to see. I thought you were about to say teen Yoda readings.
Teen Yoda.
I was like, I don't even want to know what stress you would put on your vocal cords trying to do teen
Yoda. Oh, God.
All right, so you ready to get into the Legacy of Terror with the brains?
I am. I like this episode a lot.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that you like episodes where they're in dark underground layers, because you like...
Oh, this is right back to Lair of Grievous for me, yeah.
Just about to say that, yeah. I mean, you like Lair episodes.
Yeah, I like the horror episodes.
Well, here we go. Legacy of Terror is the 29th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on November 20th, 2009. It was written by Yogan Mahoney, Drew Z. Greenberg, and Brian Larson, and directed by Stuart Lee. It's part 4 of the 5-part storyline of the Second Battle of Geonosis. Some extra information for you. Though developed completely independently, this is the second zombie story in Star Wars. The first was an adult horror novel called Death Troopers. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says that the sandstorm Luminara goes into was never a part of the original script. It was in the editing process he realized there wasn't a lot going on in the episode. They had to rewrite the script and add it in. He also mentions Luminara's goggles were the same design as Hondo's and Aka's goggles. They also worked hard on the sound design between the sandstorm outside versus the Jedi hearing it inside. Filoni says that the sandstorm became a character of itself, and it's the reason that Act 1 works so well.
It's interesting. I got two things to say about that sandstorm after we get to that part.
I was writing my notes at like 2 a.m. and then before coffee this morning, so I don't have anything about sandstorm, so I'll let you have that one.
Excellent.
But you know what? I'll let you have first.
You know what time it is. Everybody knows what time it is.
Time for Space Platitudes.
Time for
sexy.
That music. That sexy, sexy music.
And the music can do it better than I can. I'm going to eat my apples.
Sometimes accepting help is harder than offering it. In bed.
Padme, I need help getting off these handcuffs. Padme, what do you mean you have to go to a meeting?
It's more like Anakin going, no, no problem, I'll get him off myself. I'm a Jedi. Any second now.
And Padme comes
She's
back
like, I got the key.
Later.
No, no, I got it, I got it.
And Padme comes back like 3 hours later and he's still stepped to the bed. He's like, I don't got it.
I'm starting to do the teen voice on Anakin too.
Padme!
My hand's falling asleep.
Hera!
My good hand.
Hera, kid, get help. Ezra with the Force. Get Hera. Actually, Kanan's a man. Man Kanan. My favorite fan art is when people draw him with abs, even though he would totally have a dad body. Yeah. Sorry. So Act 1.
All right.
Sorry, I got
easy there.
I know. I'm actually really. I can't wait to see Kanan. What they do with his eyes? His eyes.
What
my
they
brand.
Do with his eyes?
He's my brand. I want to know if he's gonna get like cool cybernetic eyes like Wolf had in Clone Wars, or if he's just gonna be blind and be like, yes, I'm a blind Jedi now, or if he's gonna be like cyber wolf eyes. I don't know.
Get a Geordi LaForge set of goggles.
Oh, that'd be cute. I could see, like, I like all the fan art of, I saw a fan art, because he had that, at the end of Twilight the Apprentice, he had that cloth, and it was a picture of Kanan wearing the cloth, but Sabine had drawn, like, googly eyes on it, and it was just like, yeah, let's go, and
everyone's laughing, right,
like,
yeah.
Why is everyone laughing at me? What?
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Act 1. Huh. Our heroes have won the planet of Geonosis. Woo! Luminara and Obi-Wan begin the cleanup effort, but there's a problem. Geonosian leader Poggle the Lesser is still missing. They begin an intense search for him. Continuing from the last episode, Rex carries Ahsoka to a ship like a noble prince. It's so tiny on the screen, but I'm like, is he helping? Is he helping Ahsoka walk? And then as it's zooming in, it goes close to them, and he lets her go. And I was just like, he was carrying Ahsoka like a prince. I was excited. Shut up. Rex carries Ahsoka to the ship like a noble prince and tells them not to worry about the cleanup. They will take care of things here. The ship leaves with Barriss and Ahsoka to continue for next week. Obi-Wan chats with Luminara that the battles seem to be coming with more frequency, and there's no sign of Poggle. Luminara heads out on her own, wanting to find Poggle herself. Poggle is running on his tank escort, but a box falls off the transport. Obi-Wan is surprised to see Ki-Adi Mundi up and about, but there's no time for pleasantries. There's a bug general to find. Luminara spots Poggle's fallen box with her clone commander, Buzz. No, we're not making up his name, and it's quite fitting since they're fighting bugs. She calls them to the men, and she wants to follow Poggle to a temple. Luminara must proceed, even though there's a coming sandstorm. Wow, I can tell I totally wrote these at 2 a.m. Her and Buzz zoom off into the storm. In the midst of the sandstorm, Poggle's droids are struggling. They try to band together, but they begin falling one by one. Poor droids. Luminara is right on their heels, but doesn't know it yet. They want to make it to the temple to escape the storm. They end up making it there, and realize that Poggle is somewhere in the temple. Luminara calls into the Jedi Masters while Buzz investigates an entrance to the catacombs underneath. Suddenly, Buzz screams out, and Luminara's transmission goes out. Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Mundi have no choice but to wait out the storm before they can rescue Master Luminara.
Yeah, I like this episode. It's a horror episode.
Yeah. So what did you think of Act 1 with the sandstorm with all your sandstormy notes?
Oh, well, I had a note that I really liked the use of the wind sound effects with the sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the sandstorm is completely ridiculous that it's messing them up. That it's like, yeah, we can't fly with the sandstorm. Really, you can fly through space, but you can't fly through a sandstorm?
Well, the same thing happened in Trespass. They couldn't get through the snowstorm.
I know. Can't you just fly up over it with your spaceship?
I guess they wouldn't still be able to say, like, if they were looking for Luminara, they wouldn't be able to pick out her transmissions because she was in the storm.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. You're right. Why not? They're in space.
But I think that they're sort of hinting that this is going to be the end of this first act is total horror with, you know, the bugs attacking. But there's like in the temple, there's a nice gargoyle on it. And some cuts to faces that's basically like the movie Psycho.
And I think there were heads on sticks, too. But they were Geonosian heads on sticks.
Yeah, yeah. And it was right out of the movie Psycho. So they're definitely, pulling some horror movie moves for this one. And I'm certainly down with that.
I'm going to join you. I actually had that point in Act 2. But I'm going to throw in my point now. I love that Clone Wars has a zombie episode. The thing is, this is only the first zombie episode of Clone Wars. There's another one with the Night Sisters in a later season.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like when Clone Wars does genre themes like heist movies, westerns, monster movies, etc. Because they're taking this, space opera sci-fi thing that is Star Wars, and it adds extra layers to it, mashing and meshing these genres together. And they're actually playing, with what is science fiction when you mesh. What happens when you make science fiction and western and science fiction with horror or science fiction with, with a rom-com? Look at Senate Spy. You know that wasn't much of a comedy, unless you count all the duck sounds we made.
Oh, that's right.
I loved it. I can't wait to hear that episode and hear all the duck sounds.
It's coming. It's already happened, so actually. At this point, they're listening.
Oh, yeah. Did you have anything else for Act 1?
That's all I had for Act 1, really.
The only thing, other thing I had is, and I like that they dropped the Rebels trailer today, because now it makes my point completely irrelevant. So, back in Landing at Point Rain, we discussed how Obi-Wan mentioned the Clone Wars are taking longer than expected. He pointed out again in this episode that the battles are coming more and more frequent. And I like that the show has its characters recognizing that this isn't a fast conflict. This is why I love the pacing of Clone Wars over the pacing of Rebels. I talked about it before, but Clone Wars actually feels like a three-year war versus the supposed 2 to 3 years that have passed in Rebels until the clip that dropped today. Thanks, Dave Filoni. Thanks. Well, no, I'm actually really glad. And someone pointed out on Twitter, it was season 3 of Clone Wars that Ahsoka gets her upgrade of, she is taller, her legs grow longer, she has a new outfit. And so now season 3 of Rebels, it looks like they did the same thing. So I guess season 3 is when you grow to the next level and you can evolve into the next Pokemon.
Oh, I've been playing
way too much Pokemon Go. Well, that's all I had for Act 1.
All right, I'm ready to go to Act 2 because Act 2 is my favorite part. That's where the meat of my love for this episode lies.
Oh, yeah. I did split it up at a weird place, though, because I didn't quite know where Act 3 was, but okay. So, Obi-Wan and Anakin arrive at the temple with a platoon of clone troopers. Commander Cody finds Buzz dead, but no Jedi Master. Obi-Wan discovers Luminara's lightsaber, but they don't think Poggle is the cause of the struggle. They see a statue of a Geonosian that's unlike any other they've seen. Obi-Wan says it's probably their queen, but her existence is rumored. Obi-Wan and Anakin lead their men into the catacombs. Luminara wakes up to Poggle leading a group of Geonosians through the tunnels. She attacks them, but they don't seem to feel pain. She calls to Obi-Wan and warns them to leave. Obi-Wan and Anakin speed up their search and run into a group of walkers. Wait, did this just become Walking Dead? The clones can't seem to hurt the Geonosians as a bug-like parasite crawl in and out of their heads. Obi-Wan calls his men back as they take out the tunnel. Anakin is shaken, and Obi-Wan tells of rumors of the Geonosian hive mind so powerful that its warriors can continue to fight even after death. Impossible or not, they have to fight this new enemy. They're too far underground to call for help, so Obi-Wan sends two clones, who we will call Thing 1 and Thing 2, to call General Mundi. Thing 1 and Thing 2 don't make it too far, as they are quickly killed by Geonosians. Luminara wakes up to find that she's in the middle of a birthing video as the queen is spitting out eggs. The men find a tunnel where it's warmer, so they must be close. Anakin sneers, "Smells like something crawled up Jar Jar's ass and died in here."
That's a direct quote.
Direct quote from the show.
Earning that PG-13.
Oh, yeah. They find the queen and Poggle with the captured Luminara. Anakin wants to go in with lightsabers blazing, but Obi-Wan wants to be more diplomatic. Why take Luminara and not kill her? Fine, then we'll try the Kenobi way. He sets up Cody and his men around the perimeter to be ready. Anakin and Obi-Wan approach the queen. Because by that point, there was only 4 minutes left, and I was like, okay, I guess that's the end of Act 2.
Alright.
I just want to say in my notes in very big letters, I had Daryl Obi-Wan Kenobi Dixon. I have no idea why I wrote that. It was 2:30 in the morning.
It's Giger time again, just like the Lair Grievous.
It's what?
Giger time. It looks like the designer painter H.R. Giger did all the character design and set design for Alien. Well, he didn't do it for the subsequent Alien movies, but his design sort of bled into those movies. And this is totally pulling some H.R. Giger imagery of the bug hive. I love it. There's tons of Alien and Aliens references in there. You got a queen, just like in Aliens. And you got Queen Bug Vagina on the show.
I was just like, wow. She's
dropping eggs. Showing... I'm just like, that's a vagina.
Yeah. PG-13 rating, you guys. That's why I was like, where they're birthing.
Mm-hmm. The scene of like bugs coming off the walls and stuff, that's totally Aliens. There's even a scene where they're tracking her with a little beeping, you know, a little beeping handheld device that's right out of the first Alien movie. And that first shot of Luminara's point of view where the zombie bugs are dragging her and they're sort of rocking back and forth with their heads just sort of loose, very right out of a horror movie or a nightmare. That was awesome. Very creepy for a...
I even like how Poggle was like leading, like walking with him. I mean, even Poggle was just like, oh.
Yeah, he's not even too comfortable with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they got Star Trek, the little Star Trek 2 reference with the brain worms. It's just chock full of some of my favorite things.
These are a few of Chris's favorite things.
And an Empire Strikes Back quote. It's not true. It's impossible.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, I have a bad feeling about this.
Well, they do that a lot. That's all the time. But not true as impossible is Luke's line, and it's fun hearing it from Anakin's mouth.
Oh, I like daddy, I like son.
Yeah, two different contexts. So I wonder when Luke said that, if Vader was like, oh, this reminds me of back when I was fighting zombies on Geonosis.
You know, I want it. Are you caught up with the Vader comics?
I am not.
Did you get to the part where they were on Geonosis for the Vader comics?
No, not yet.
Okay, because...
I imagine Vader's not too happy with the... is probably a little hostile towards them.
Well, you know what happens to them from Rebels. They completely eradicated the planet. But in Vader, there is, like, one queen left, and I don't think it's Karina. But I thought it would have been a really cool kind of throw over if that was like Karina and Anakin being like, oh, didn't I kill you?
Right. Remember me?
No.
The guy with the lightsaber. Oh, it's the guy with the lightsaber.
I don't like it, Precious.
But, oh, man, I love her. I love her. I love her design. I love her just sheer hostility towards the Jedis. Just shaking hostility towards them. It's great.
Oh, yeah. I think this is the first time we've seen Anakin shaken up from a thing. I like to see that nice kind of human side from the Chosen One, because, like, when they first see the walkers and they can't kill him, he's just like...
This is different than droids.
Yeah, he's like, what are those, Obi-Wan? Like, he looks to his master like, Master, help! And that he actually, that was some, like, good... I think it's Matt Lantern, who is the voice of Anakin. That was some good vocal work, too, because he sounded like... Unlike normally where Anakin would just be like, what is that? He was just like, what was that? Obi-Wan. So I actually really liked that moment. Obi-Wan to Anakin, I make observation while you think with your lightsaber. Did they make a borderline dick joke?
I thought the same thing.
Dick joke. I'm glad that we think alike, Chris. And finally, the other note I had was, I like Obi-Wan and Anakin bantering about how they approach situations, and Anakin must have picked up something, because then I started thinking about it, I was like, Vader is much more slower and methodical with his actions like Obi-Wan, like, he takes his time with things, he makes plots, he observes to know how to fight something, but I guess you move a lot slower when you get your legs and your ass burned off.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
But I do
wonder...
Takes
all the piss out of you.
Yeah, literally, because you don't have a bladder anymore.
Yeah.
But I did wonder, like, I did kind of like that, because it does seem like he did take some of that Obi-Wan stuff and then applied it to being Vader. Way to go, Obi-Wan. You did it.
You know, you can't avoid your master's training if you're a Padawan. He says as if he was actually Jedi were real and he was saying something that actually meant anything. But yeah, it 90% of the time Obi-Wan and Anakin spent together, they're good buddies. I would say maybe 99% of the time.
Yeah, I mean,
they only had one big fight, but it was a doozy. Yeah, they had two big fights.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, he definitely raised Anakin from being a kid. I mean, like, what's something I love enjoying about reading Wild Space, even though it's not canon anymore, is Obi-Wan is constantly, like, fighting his attachment to Anakin. And, like, when in the book Anakin gets assigned to Bothawai, and Yoda was like, all right, do you believe in him, Obi-Wan? And Obi-Wan's internal monologue is like, he's not ready. He's so young. He's a baby. And he was just like, maybe, I'm not sure yet. And Yoda's like, let go of your attachments. And he was like, yeah, Anakin's ready. Send him out. But, like, it's really, really interesting. Kind of wish we got a little bit more in the actual show of him, kind of, because we know that he worries about Anakin, and we know that he's, like, kind of fatherly towards him, and Ahsoka, too, like, he's very, becoming more fatherly, like, towards Ahsoka, but at the same time, I wish there was, like an episode where Obi-Wan just gets a chance to voice his own struggles with letting Anakin go. I would have really liked that.
Yeah, the closest we come is him telling Luke about him.
And I loved you, Anakin. You're a brother.
Yeah.
I'm Ewan McGregor, and I'm beautiful. I sing in Moulin Rouge. I love that movie. Shut up, I love Moulin Rouge, because it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi is singing, but don't watch the ending. You turn it off right after the play, and it's a happy ending. Yay. I've seen that movie probably easily like 40 times, I've only watched the ending. I think I've only watched the ending, like, 5 times.
Oh, man.
I love that movie. I love Moulin Rouge.
Oh, good luck with that.
We should be lovers.
I did it
once. We can't do that. We should be lovers. Oh, now I want a video of Elephant Love Medley with Satine and Obi-Wan. Oh, my God.
It probably exists.
I want
one. Probably already exists.
Oh my God, I want one, Chris. Oh. At 3.
I'm ready.
Okay. Sorry, I'm having a fangirl moment. I think I'm also dehydrated from walking around a dog park for a while. In like 96 degree weather. Alright, Act 3. Luminara is like, what the heck you guys doing here? And Obi-Wan says, hey, we ignored orders just like I like to do with Anakin. And Anakin's like, hey! The Queen is Kareena the Great and excuses the Jedi as the creatures that attacked Geonosis. Obi-Wan tries to be diplomatic to get Kareena to submit to Republic law, but the big bug ain't having none of that. Mm-mm. None of that. Mm-mm-mm. Z-snaps. Her reign is eternal, even if her subjects are dead. She will not kill the Jedi, but will control them. Poggle brings forth a larva egg to demonstrate on Luminara. Obi-Wan wants to see how it works, but both Luminara and Anakin are like, the fuck is wrong with you, Obi-Wan? Obi-Wan finally signals Cody's. The clones rush out and blind the Queen and the zombies. Anakin frees Luminara while Obi-Wan grabs the larva. They have Poggle at lightsaber point, and it's time to skedaddle out of there. Anakin thinks the larva is attacking Obi-Wan, and he stamps at it like a bug, which I felt was silly. I was like, why didn't you just cut it off with a lightsaber? Anyway, I just like him stamping. Just like, bugs, Obi-Wan cries for his lack of nerd knowledge and the ability to study it. Cody and his men shoot down the support pillars and bury Queen Kareena. They race up through the catacombs as the zombies are still coming. The temple is collapsing around them. The force of the air pressure shoots them all out of the catacombs, and they race out of the building with a captured Poggle. Obi-Wan wishes he could have gotten a larva to study. In its not-so-subtle moment of foreshadowing, Anakin hopes that the secret is buried with the Queen, which we know next week it isn't. The end.
Because next week is part 5.
Yes, and it's called Brain Invaders. there's your hint for next week, kids. No, I just want to say one thing to Obi-Wan. Nerd!
Obi-Wan the scientist.
Nerd! What a nerd.
I like Anakin's line, study the bottom of my boot.
Yeah.
That's pretty hostile there, Anakin.
I still just like him stamping at the bug. I was like, just be like, boom, lightsaber, done. But now he had to stamp, 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 stamp. Stamp, stamp. Now, I wonder, I saw that on the Wikipedia that Tatooine and Geonosis are really close together. They're like a parsec away, so I wonder if there's a lot of Geonosians that like go to Tatooine, and he might have had bad experiences with Geonosians as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know, but he seemed more like he was kind of shocked and... It seems like he wasn't familiar with it, you know?
Yeah.
It seemed more like he was horrified and at something that he hadn't seen before, so... But he did have a little... He did attack that... Well, then again, it's a pretty disgusting idea.
Yeah. I also just like Luminara and Anakin just being like...
Obi-Wan didn't know how long it takes one of those things to go up your nose.
And he didn't even know if it was the nose, and I just like how Luminara was just like, I don't like this plan. Oh, it's on me. Oh, I don't like this plan. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now she's got to have Jedi therapy after this.
I know. Like, my buddy Sam works at it's a zoo. And she just posts just all day long on her Snapchat, just has pictures of, like, little tiny snakes crawling on her and, like, sitting on her head and, like, laying on her lap. And I'm just like, oh, God. And that's what I thought of when I saw that. I was like, oh, it's like Sam and her tiny snakes. Oh.
What are they, like, baby snakes that she's hatching?
Sometimes. Sometimes they're big snakes. No. Sam, I love you, but no. See, I like snakes when they're behind glass or the handler, but anything that can crawl up walls without feet is of the devil.
I used to live in a house with they're a smaller boa constrictor, but we had, what kind of boa was it? I can't remember. But it was, it was probably three and a half feet long.
Ooh.
And, that was great.
Ooh.
You know, I'm not one of those guys that's going to be messing around with rattlesnakes or anything that's going to bite you like that or anything, but, like, boa constrictors are really, they're not like a cat or dog where they're affectionate or something. That they like to hang out on you because they like to absorb your body heat, but that's about it. They're not ever going to become loyal or friendly to you.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch him eat a mouse now and then.
Ooh.
A ball python. That's what he wasn't a ball. He was a ball ball python. That's what it was.
Well, what did you think of Act 3 now that we have the angry fury of Karina?
I liked it. I liked it, but I'm all about Act 2. Act 3 was just like, okay, let's finish this off, you know?
Let's resolve the
situation. Not that that was bad, but it's just not as exciting and creepy and scary and moody as Part 2. Although the scene of the worm on her face was pretty creepy.
I do like the fact that Karina calls them creatures, the creatures that attack Geonosis. She sees them as aliens.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably repulsive looking to her.
She's like, gross. They're so thin.
She'd like
squash them.
And they
have like hair on their bodies. Ew. Mammals. Mammals.
Ugly sacks of mostly water.
And I also have always liked the trope of, like, and when the clones did it, like, they were shooting at the zombies, and I just love the whole thing, like, when you run out of bullets, just throw your gun at them.
Yeah,
just,
hey. What else are you supposed to do? I would actually hang on to the gun and use it as a bludgeon, but, hey, you know, throwing it's good, too.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, when you, if they all got out, and when you get back, now you don't have a gun to put your ammo in. You have to get a new gun.
That's true. That's a wear on resources. Can't have that during four.
Way to go, Cody. I don't know if it was Cody who threw the gun. Well, just so you know, for your information, our lovely D, Bradley Baker, who voices all the lovely clones, he's also the voice of Karina.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
I never would have guessed that.
He's a really good creature voice actor, too.
Yeah, like, well, he made her sound very feminine, even though she was completely bug-like.
Yeah, he does a lot of creature voice acting. He's Lion in Steven Universe. He was Momo and Appa in Avatar, in Avatar The Last Airbender. He does a ton of creature voices. He's so good at those. But, I mean, yeah, like, it didn't even sound, unlike, you know, a few episodes ago with Holocron Heist with Ord Innocence, it sounded like Dee Bradley Baker. It just sounded like an old grumpy Rex. But, like, this sounded nothing like Rex or Cody or any of them at all. So it was just, he's just so talented.
Well, that's the thing with Dee.
Dee's amazing.
Dee's nuts.
Oh, God! Oh, I'm so right to that one, didn't I? All right. Well, I only had one other note. You know, something I was wondering.
Someday we're gonna have him on the show or something, and then watch out, baby, watch out.
Oh god! And then I guys and be like, "I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so don't leave." Why? Oh, he hung up on us.
He did not take his meds today.
I've
had people use that excuse on me for me before. Forgive him. He's off his meds.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, D. Bradley Baker took meds, and I was like, how do you know that?
No. Maybe he does. Let's start a rumor.
Chris is stalking D. Bradley Baker.
I hear he does crystal meth.
No.
Sure. That's how he does all those voices.
Maybe we could say that about someone else.
He's whacked out on happy ice.
He thinks that he's doing...
I don't know what I'm talking about.
He thinks he's, like, doing all sorts of voices, but he's only just doing the same voice. Oh, wait, that's Vic Mignogna. Everyone sounds like Ed Elric. Wow, I'm making a lot of Full Metal Alchemist references today. Anyway, I only had one other note, and this is the first time I've realized this, even though I've seen this episode, like, a bajillion times. And then it hit me, if Cody is there with Obi-Wan, why isn't Rex with Anakin? Where's Rex?
Maybe Rex got shore leave.
Well, the thing is that, like, Cody was leading a platoon on his own in landing at Point Rain, and he's a commander, so we know that he has a higher rank. So it didn't make sense to me that they would leave Rex behind to lead things for them when he's only a captain. Why not leave Cody behind so he could be there for Obi-Wan instead?
Right,
instead of
right.
So it dawned on me. I was like, where's Rex in all this? Like, why isn't Rex there with Cody?
Why is stupid Cody here? Everyone's stupid Cody.
Boring Cody. Rex would be the one that'd be like, he probably would have shot the queen right in the face and then been like, all right, let's go. Cody would have actually shot out the pillars and Rex would have been just like, pew! Karina's dead. Can we go now? Yeah, though I wonder if Karina, well, it's assumed that Karina died, but we know that the larva can still work, as of, we'll see next week, we'll see that the larva can still, like, work and stuff like that, even though she's dead, so I'm wondering if that other queen that we see in the Darth Vader comics, like, how the hive mind works, like, do all the queens work together, or is it something along the lines of, like, they can work without the queen as long as there's a lot of them, like, I'm not sure how...
The queen is, like, the hub of all her, of all her children, you know what I mean? Sort of like the Borg Queen, you know?
Yeah. But, and how long is Vader? Vader's like, what, like about 15 years? So, there's another queen about 10, 15 years after Karina. So, I don't know, I just feel like there's probably more than one queen on this planet.
Well, they could be like... ant colonies, you know, you kill the queen in an ant colony and they don't have another queen, somebody will, there's ones that will mutate into a queen, you know? Mm-hmm. They might, the Geonosians might work like that. There might be some male guy when the queen dies, all of a sudden he starts growing boobs and having an ovipositor and all that all stuff. All
right, you guys, let's...
Dude, check out my new ovipositor.
I'm the queen now, guys!
Except it would be more like, dude!
Though I kind of like the idea of there being like two queens and them being sisters and them being like, yes! Let's do each other's nails!
No, they'd probably fight to the death and eat each other, knowing them bugs. I don't think you put two queens together in the same room.
There's probably a nice queen and a mean queen, and the nice queen's doing her nails, and she's like, you put Raid in my nail polish! Raid!
That's all they needed was a couple bug bombs. They could have had this down to a two-episode arc.
Hey, man, apparently the Empire wiped them out. All they had to do was do that to the Geonosians.
Yeah,
and then we wouldn't have a Death Star. Come on, guys, think ahead.
Come on, people!
Don't you know there's a Death Star coming? Isn't the Force supposed to tell you about a death weapon that will kill millions of people? It's like they can only foresee the Force, like, till next week. They can't say, like, there's a massive death coming in a long-distant future. Or they can just go, oh, hey, Palpatine. What about this Death Star that you're building?
It made things a lot easier, that's for sure.
I know. The Force is, like... The Force is, like, shoddy telephone service. Like, I live in a bowl. I have hills surrounding my house, and my house is at the bottom of this bowl. And I don't always get good service. And that's kind of like what the Force is like. There's just not enough cell towers around for the Force.
Yeah, and whenever there's a couple of Sith around, it just messes up. They're like a thunderstorm.
You know how people, like, hold up their phones and walk around trying to get service? I just imagine Windu picking up Yoda and walking around.
Yes, that's like, exactly, as soon as you said that, that's what I pictured with him holding Yoda up in the air and just like, going, better now? Better now?
Can you hear me now? Good.
Maybe if you tape duct tape Yoda to stick.
The Padawans walk by, they're like, what's happening? Oh, they're just trying to get Force service.
Yeah.
You got it now, sir! No, go that way!
Only one bar. This will not do.
Oh, and his ears, like, will, like, flip up when he has a service.
Yeah.
Flip up when it's better service.
Oh, yes, Yoda's ears flip up with service.
Anyway.
And Yoda and Mace just drops him on the ground, like, and we're done. I'm not servicing you anymore, Yoda.
Don't look up Yoda's cape.
Try not to.
All right, we're done here.
So, I didn't have anything else for Act 3, did you?
No, I think I'm ready to score this sucker up.
All right, so what do you think of the episode, Chris?
9 out of 10.
Really? That's high.
Yes, it is. And yes, it is. The score is high, and so am I. I love these horror episodes. Kids. I was just loving it all the way through.
I'm glad it was a relatively straightforward episode because I was trying to write my notes at like 2 a.m. and then before coffee. And I'm just like, I'm so glad there's no like massive character developments or like any like talks of like the sociological implication of women in Star Wars or anything.
Oh, it's creepy zombie bugs in tunnels.
Like, thank God. So 9 out of 10 for you?
9 out of 10. 18 out of 20.
All right. So, I wrote that this is a fun and straightforward episode. It's creepy and scary, but there's also a lot of great moments with Obi-Wan and Anakin. It's nice to have an actual end to the Battle of Geonosis, even though there's still one more episode next week. Though I could have used more Rex, because I realized that Rex was really in it. Though it was totally worth Rex carrying Ahsoka like a prince. It was totally worth it. Well, like the one moment he was there, and I was like, yes, yes, carry her into the distance. And then make out and make beautiful orange stripy babies. A clone shows up like 10 years later and it just looks like he has a bad tan, but it's really Rex and Ahsoka's baby. Oh, it's great. I gave it 15 out of 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because like I feel like the other Geonosis episodes are better. I think Landing at Point Rain's better. I liked Weapons Factory a lot more. And I like Great Invaders next week a lot better, too. And it's just like, I like this episode, but it's fairly straightforward. It's just a battle. It's a fun battle, and it's great, but it's definitely probably my least favorite of the five parts of the Geonosis arc.
Oh, yeah. I got Aliens, Star Trek, and Star Wars all sort of thrown together at once. So, yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I love it when these Clone Wars episodes... There'll probably be a similar 9 to 10 when we get to that other... It's coming up somewhere in one of these seasons where they do another genre, just flat-out genre movie.
We have Bounty Hunters in this, and it's a tribute to samurai films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually follow the plot of... I can't remember the guy's name, but I know... I think it was Kurosawa...
Oh, yeah. It's like the separate samurai.
They straight up follow the plot of one of his movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Wars took a lot from The Hidden Fortress, one of Kurosawa's movies. So.
Yeah. And I also...
It all makes sense.
I like Bounty Hunters a lot better, but it's like Lerman's part two.
Well, I as a film nerd, I love it too because the like kids who might get really into Clone Wars might end up like... learning about and seeing some other genres of films, you know, off this when they do some reading about it or something, or hear something, or hear us talk about it.
I really hope kids aren't listening to our show when we're talking about Windu looking up Yoda's shirt. I really hope there's not kids listening to our show.
Nothing we can do about that.
My aunt is a pastor. And
I always check the adult language.
Yeah, my aunt is a pastor, and she was like, oh, I saw you had a podcast. I was like, yeah, it's a Star Wars podcast. Don't listen to it.
You must never listen to it.
I was like, I love you. Don't listen to it.
Oh, it depends on what kind of pastor she is. I know, you know, I know plenty of people like that. Who? Too. What's that?
She's a cool pastor. She's a Methodist pastor. They have a very big LGBT community in their church.
Yeah, so she could probably deal with a little bit of... Salty language.
Yeah, she was the one when my sister got married. I was wearing this blue dress, but I didn't realize it had like little anchors on it and stuff like that. But the brand was Hell Bunny, and I didn't realize at the time when I put it on around all the anchors it said Hell Bunny. And she points at me and goes, "Huh, your dress says Hell on it, and you're in a church." That's my aunt. So, yeah, I love her. I love her to death. So. Well, as always, if you like our shows, we would love to hear back from you. As always, you can review us on iTunes and score us, give us 1 to 5 stars. We would love for you to do that because, A, for one, we'll read it on the show.
I heard on iTunes you could only score 4 or 5 stars. That's what I heard.
You're only allowed.
Yes, that's true.
But if you do score 1 star, please tell us why. We would love to hear why. But it just also helps people find the show and it helps us out. And we just want to hear from you guys. But we also have a Facebook page at the Two True Freaks Facebook page, and I pulled comments and questions from it, and this week came from our good friend Aaron. He added another comment to our Season 1 Roundup episode, and guess what? He called out you listeners. Do you want to read it, Chris?
Yes, I do, and yes, I will.
Yep. So here's Aaron, throwing in the gauntlet for you guys, calling you out. Eye of the Tiger, Final Countdown. I'm just going to go back across this show now.
Just finished the episode and loved it. If I could suggest one thing for next time, maybe let us know when you're getting ready to record it so we could ask you guys some questions about the season or give you some of our top picks. I love the show, but one I do miss is hearing one. But one thing I do miss is hearing feedback from other fans. Sometimes I think me and Gene are the only listeners based on the Facebook comments, since I can't. I still can't figure out Twitter.
It's okay.
I mean, we got that. We see the downloads. There's people listening. They're just not talkers. Get out there and talk with us. We like to talk.
Yeah, people don't really chat with us on Twitter, Aaron, so don't feel bad. I do know that. I run our Twitter, and we there's a lovely, lovely, lovely Cad Bane Twitter account, and I love him to death, and he retweets our episodes every week, and so I don't know if it's a him or her. I can't pronounce your actual Twitter handle, because it's like, Tarlet again, and that has like T-A-R, and then letters, but it has a picture of Cad Bane on it, and they're really great, and they're super nice, and so thank you for always reblogging every single one of our episodes, yeah. But we do want to hear from you guys, like, even if it's just send us a tweet, we want to know how you guys find our show, we want to hear from you guys, leave us answers on our, I know we record like 10 weeks ahead,
even
I can
so,
see it.
Even if you tell us what, if there's something that you're missing, we might just do it, if you ask us, if we know.
We might even do, like, feedback episode.
So, yeah, if we get that much feedback, hell yeah.
We'll totally do a feedback episode in between, like, our normal rescheduling time, our normal schedule, and just send it out there just so we can answer some of your questions and stuff like that, so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But to do that, they should know where to find us, Chris. So where can people find you?
Oh, they know where to find me. It's at twotruefreaks.com. The website of Two True Freaks.
What?
Yeah, millions and zillions of nerd podcasts. We've got Earth Destruction Directive, which is giant monster movies. We just recently added Bots, Bugs, and Babes by Earth Destruction Directive's brother. We've got the ever popular Back to the Bins, which is a straight up comic podcast. Oh my god. We've got In Country, which is a podcast of the Marvel, the Nom comics. We're just all over the place. Gene Hendricks with his incredibly focused Thor podcast, The Hammer Strikes. On and on. Trentus Magnus punches reality. I could just, actually, once I start naming them, I could go on for about 37 podcasts. So you should come and check them out. We got horror, we got Star Trek, Star Wars.
Music with long play.
Anime. The whole thing. We even have a show called Anime Freaks. So, you know, wow. Everything. Movie commentaries. We do it all.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We don't mess
also
around,
a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. You can go to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and look for Two True Freaks. And we post all our shows up on the Facebook page, and of course they're on iTunes too, but yeah, the Facebook page is more fun because people are there talking about it, and you could be there talking about it too, instead of lollygagging around, playing your Pokemon Go and listening to your Yeah Yeah music.
And if you want to actually like lead something like specifically for us, go to the Facebook page and in the search just type in Jagas and Jedis and it'll pull up all of our episodes.
Yeah.
So that's it.
All our lovely Photoshops.
That's how I pull Aaron's comments every week because I search our shows. Well, you can find me at WhatTheFangirl. You can find me at Jagas and Jedi. I run our Twitter account. And you can also find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. And also, you can find me at WhatTheFangirl, where I write comic reviews. I talk about Star Wars a lot there. I'm working on a Pokemon Go article at the moment, which is what I'm going to be doing after I get off with you, Chris, as soon as I get off. And so, yeah, I work for What the Fangirl, and yeah, well, that's all I have for this week.
That's all I got, too.
Kind of short one.
Yeah, we'll come.
Kind of tangents.
Come back next week, and we'll finally be polishing off this Geonosis business.
Yeah, Geonosis, we're going to leave the bug planet. Aw, snap. I was just about to say, hey, we should go to Tatooine at some point, but then I was like, oh yeah, Clone Wars movie, that was Tatooine. Never mind. Well, I guess until next time, where the hell is your force reception and hold up your Yoda for service?
Hold that Yoda high. Wave your freak Yoda high.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TwoTrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."